The Guardian.
I started off as a DJ, and rap was just something that hit me. I look at hip hop was like the blues music of my day and age. Blues music, jazz music spawned every form of music until hip hop music came along and touched popular culture like never before, like we've never seen. And so to be exposed to hip hop music is when I was young, when I was very, especially just an impressionable, kid, 12, 13 years old, there's something about it that just took, grabbed my soul like it obviously did the rest of the world. Now, granted, right now, I don't think there's a lot of good hip-hop out. I don't really listen to a lot of current hip-hop.
What do you think of current hip-hop?
It's bad pop music. That's pretty much all the stuff they play on pop stations. So it's like, it's just very...
What are you listening to?
When listening to music, when I'd hear bands, whether it was Lynyrd Skynyrd or Bob Seger, or I heard a band like Run DMC, just to put out big names people can relate to, I felt that those people writing those songs were those songs. They were what they talked about. There's no connection anymore. We hear some pop girl on the station singing a song because she won a contest on TV that some songwriter wrote the song for. Some team of producers got together and produced it. People are consulting whoever it is on how to dress and maybe how to act and put you in the front of the right. It's just all smoke and mirrors. And there's no connection anymore. And I know that's why I've resonated in America, is because people feel connected to me and they know that that's the person with the mute that's writing and singing those songs. Mm-hmm. Those songs are me. Mm-hmm.
Did you have any reservations about sampling Sweet Home Alabama?
Well, it wasn't about sampling, it was about making a mashup. And when we decided to do the mashup, the way I viewed it was, no, you don't fuck with songs like Sweet Home Alabama. First off, we all know as musicians that's a golden rule. You're not going to make Back in Black better than AC/DC did it. Don't fuck with it. But, for so many years you'd have the opportunity to go into some clubs, wherever it was in the world, and it would drive me bananas. Just, techno music, drive me up a freaking wall. Like, it didn't make me, just made me not want to go to a club. There was nothing about it. To me, it was just like, somebody pass a law outlawing white kids to buy drum machines. Please, stop. And then mashups started to happen. As a DJ, this is how I kind of always did my shows. I would throw to different songs, because not only did I understand hip-hop, but I also understand blues music. And as a musician, I know key changes and whatnot to be able to do this. So when these programs started to come out that allowed DJs to mash them up, I was like, I like this. We can hear a classic record mixed with a hip-hop beat. I hear an old Motown song with a techno beat, where all of a sudden you have a sense of melody and rhythm and a great written song. I loved it. So when the idea came for a friend of mine to bring Werewolves of London, and he had it looped up over a hip-hop beat, and I was sitting there humming it as a musician, I'm going, as a rapper, I'm like, oh, I like that, it's fun, but it's not really what I'm doing right now. And like, I go, that's the same chord and key progression as Sweet Home Alabama. It's also the same key progression and chord progression is like Steve Miller, Go On, Take the Money and Run. There's a lot of songs. It's a very popular progression. As musicians, we figure this out and we go, maybe I should make something in D, C, and G with a good rhythm. But the challenge for me was to mash those songs up, but then, which I've never heard done yet, and hopefully, and it'd be nice if I was the first to think about this way, is take, write an original lyric and melody over two classic songs. Mm-hmm. So,
And
it's kind of like taking the whole hip hop thing like five steps further. Mm-hmm. Rather than just sampling something, writing a rap over it, we combined two great songs, mm-hmm. put some original music with it, then wrote a new song with a new melody over the top of it. Mm-hmm. And it was nice because, the first thing we did was obviously send it to Warren Zevon's family. I've been fortunate enough to be good friends with the guys in Lynyrd Skynyrd and the families, and everyone liked it. And the keyboard player, Billy Powell from Skynyrd, one of the originals in the band, who played all the Sweet Home Alabama licks, came to the studio and played it all for me. And so it's nice to have them involved with it and kind of get a, hey, we like it too. Because it has a potential to be very, we didn't want to release it as the first single because we were big. Of course it's a good song. It's fucking Sweet Home Alabama. I'm well aware of that. Well, it's very, I've been in Germany this week playing, there's 75, 80,000 people at one of the festivals, and it's a big hit in Germany. Mm-hmm. But for them to get exposed, I know Skynyrd doesn't do Europe, they never really did. for them to get exposed, like, in the middle, at the end of the songs, like, let's just break it down and go into a couple verses of Sweet Home Alabama. This is something we've been playing for years, and I've played with the guys. I've got the licks from the people who wrote them. You know, I inducted Lynyrd Skynyrd in the Hall of Fame. I feel very connected to it. Mm-hmm. And so to get, and they went bananas. Mm-hmm. So to see them expose this great music, get it performed live by maybe someone who can, who's got some credibility at doing it with this new song, is just, mm-hmm. is great. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this opens up the door to Europe. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this song will open up the door to Europe, because I feel I have other songs that, you know, because now all my back records are like selling in Germany. People are going, oh my God, he's got this huge hit with Sheryl Crow and this, that, and the other. Friendly, ah, welcome to the party.
There was some controversy when the song was, I mean, every time that song pops up, there's always controversy about whether it's a kind of racist anthem and issues with the Confederate flag and all those sorts of things.
I still use a Confederate flag. Fly one. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of different, you know, my thing's always been, why should someone be able to own any image and say what it is? You know what I mean? Things mean different things to different people, and I'm so sick of all the political correctness going on mm-hmm. nowadays.
But the flag is quite loaded.
It depends. I'm sure, yeah. It's definitely got some scars, but I've never had an issue with it. Mm-hmm. No one's ever said a word to me. Mm-hmm. You know, we're performing in Carolina. People are bringing them to the shows, dropping them, you know, mm-hmm. over the balcony and stuff. Mm-hmm. To me, it represents, yeah, just rebel, Southern rock and roll, mm-hmm. and having some pride, like, in, you know, Southern rock and roll music. Mm-hmm. Plus, it just looks fucking cool. So I put that flag up. If anybody wants to question me, they can question me all day long. I know who I am. Mm-hmm. And my track record speaks for itself. I'm the type of person that I am. Flag won't define me. You know what I mean? I'm bigger than that flag.
You were quite open earlier on about, in your career, about having gone down the drugs road and mm-hmm. And alcohol. And now you've described yourself as kind of, you're cleaner living. Now, not clean, but cleaner.
Cleaner.
But now there's...
Got it under control.
There's a whole kind of rehab culture at the moment, I think, in music.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about that. I had an older brother who was one of the first in the rehab culture. We were kids, and I didn't really agree with it back then. It was just something, I think it's more something that some... You know, people have to decide. Some people... You know, people treat all sorts of things that happen in their lives differently. And some things work for some people and some things don't work for other people. And, you know, I can say I don't believe that would ever be a road I would travel. I can't say for sure because we never know where we're going to be, but I just can't see. I can't ever see, number one, working for me. Number two, I can't ever see wanting to do something and be so extreme in one capacity that it would fuck me up. You know, there's things I think about, you know, there's enough information out there to know mm-hmm. what not to do. Mm-hmm. Now, in the 70s, I don't know if that information was out there, so a lot of these people got all fucked up. I mean, they got this Behind the Music show in America, if you ever seen, you know, where they show every band has the same story. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're broke, we ended up in rehab, drugs, this and the other. I don't want to do that. I got a son, you know, and I want to be able to have a beer with my son when he's of age and take him to, you know, a baseball game or something to hang out. I'm not going to go extreme anyway. Mm-hmm. Only thing I'm going to try to be extreme is extremely nice. That's it.
Extremely nice isn't very rock and roll.
Why not? Sure it is.
You said earlier on that, you know, you're sick of political correctness and what have you, but I'm going to ask you a couple of political questions anyway, because it's those kind of times. McCain or Obama?
I don't know. I mean, if you ask me personally, sometimes I don't like talking about this, and it's not because I'd like to do the right thing, because people say don't talk about politics. I don't care. I talk about whatever. But, like, I just saw something where it's like, and I had an article on somebody's, a Hollywood actor, and it was like, and why he, you know, likes Barack Obama. I was like, the last thing I want people to do is get their political advice from me. Honestly, that's as honest as I can say that, because I'm not really educated in the fields of public service and what's right. But I do like Barack Obama. I think he represents, like a lot of people feel, change. I do believe, too, he might be a little inexperienced. I like John McCain because I appreciate his years of service. You know, as someone who supports our military extremely a lot, you know, I've been to Iraq 3 times. You know, I do respect his service, but at the end of the day, I really think I feel more like most people do, which is I don't have a lot of faith in the political system and what it was started as and what it's come to. And that's really my true feelings on it. I don't know if either one of these guys can really change things. There's too many freaks messing it up. Those are far extreme left people and far extreme right people. I think it's until people start to just calm down and, like, you know, especially in America, it seems like the voice, like where I live, I don't live in Hollywood or New York City. I live in a very small town where I chose to stay where I was from to raise my son. I thought that was the best thing for him. What I see is, like, a lot of people feel the same way I do, especially in the middle of the country, but they aren't hearing that voice. You don't hear that. You know, we've been misrepresented. You know, we look pretty fucking stupid and pretty bad around the world and got a pretty fucked up reputation right now. And hopefully that'll start to change over the next few years and we'll go back to being recognized for what we really are, which is a very, very hardworking, very caring country. You know, anytime there's tragedy anywhere in the world, we're the first ones to send money or to send troops or to try and help out. So, as I know the UK is too, who's always stood right by us. So hopefully that will start to change in the next few years.
Are you and Tommy Lee speaking to each other?
We're friends.
You're friends?
Yeah. We don't talk all the time, but everything's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how about you and Pam?
You know, if I see her, hello, but I'm not kind of not going out. I kind of don't want to be on that scene. You know what I mean? I try. I touch the stove. It's fucking hot. I think I won't touch it anymore.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.